Good morning. It's good to be with you today. My second time joining Faith Chapel to bring God's Word to you, and I appreciate everyone coming out to be a part of God's family together, and to look around and to cherish each other, and to appreciate the family that God has assembled here this morning at Faith Chapel. If you have your Bible, go ahead and open it up to the book of John chapter 13, and we're going to be looking at verses 34 and 35, and today's message is about love. The first time I ever preached on love, I was 23 years old, down in Evansville, Indiana, at a church called Oak Hill Evangelical Free Church. I was right out of the Moody Bible Institute, and it was my second time ever preaching, and in the middle of the service, I was giving examples of different things that are our favorite. Things that we might say that we love. And there was a elderly gentleman, Cecil Reinhardt, and he sat right about there. And I'm preaching and I'm talking about different things we love. And he says, "Preacher, there's only two things that we're supposed to love. God and each other." "You're right, Cecil. But let me continue on with my illustration." 1 John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35 says this: "A new commandment I give to you, to love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another." So here, Jesus is with his disciples in the upper room. For us, it is Maundy Thursday inside of our calendar by Easter, and this is his Last Supper with him. And these are his final words that he is saying, he is instructing to his followers. And so he looks to them after Judas has left and says these words: "This new command I give to you." So we have an instruction here from Jesus to his disciples, a command, an order, a charge prescribed to one by the reason of their office. This word command is. So when we think about that, this order, this charge is instructed to only a certain amount of people. It says the understanding here is by the reason of their office. When we think about the workplace, I work at Northwestern Mutual, and I am a coach of the coaches who coach the new hires in the call center. If you can remember that, you get 10 points. I coach the coaches who coach the new hires in the call center. We all have different duties. The new hires in the call center, they are supposed to answer the calls that come into Northwestern Mutual. They have their own set of duties. And then the coaches, they listen to the calls and they help the people in the call center improve. And then I work with the coaches and help them in their journeys and in their duties. And so each of us have different responsibilities according to the reason of our office. And so here, Jesus says, this command, this instruction, this charge I give to you because of who you are, right? Who is he with? He is with the disciples, the people who have followed after him, people who identify as his followers. So he says, because of who you are, this instruction comes to you to love one another. Love, agape love, to be fond of, to love dearly, unconditionally, and sacrificially. To love the way that he loved us. My daughter came up to me the other day and she said, "I know you love me, but do you like me?" "Yes, I like you. I think you're fantastic." See, when we think about loving each other, this is the instruction to us that despite what other people do, our command is still to love them, but the harder part is to also what? Like them. And so this charge is for us to be fond of each other, to love dearly each other. The instruction Jesus gave to his disciples. And it says to love each other in a reciprocal manner, to love each other mutually. When my son recently got married, my father-in-law said, marriage is not 50-50, but instead it's what? 100-100. We love reciprocally. We love mutually each other, carrying the instruction, the command, the order of love. So here, this passage, Jesus starts out with this instruction for us to love each other. A new commandment, that you love one another. He says then, just as I have loved you. He says there's a model for you to follow. And in our life, as we live and move and have our being, there are two models of love that we can follow. First is, as he instructs us, is to love as he loves. The other way that we can love is to love as the way the world loves. What does loving like the world look like? This would be how the way that we used to love before we came to know Christ. Well, first, we love when we are loved. To love when we are loved. When someone cherishes us, when someone honors us, when someone adores us, when someone pursues us and we feel longed for, it's easy to love that person. When someone makes us feel special, it's easy then to reciprocate that love. It's easy to love in those moments, isn't it? Maybe on our birthday when people give us presents. Anyone ever heard of the 5 love languages by Gary Chapman, right? To make sure that the way we love lands well on the recipient of our love. My love language is words of affirmation. So if you want to make me feel loved, you just have to tell me how smart and good looking I am and my heart will be full. My daughter's love language is gifts, and I just have to be thoughtful and bring a gift home for her, whether it's a tropical smoothie or maybe a brand new Alani flavor from the gas station, her heart is full. My wife's love language is act of service. And so for me to love her well, right, loading and unloading the dishwasher goes a really, really long way. It's easy for us to love and to reciprocate love when people are putting a check mark in the boxes for the way that we feel loved. The challenge for us, the call of Jesus, is for us to love even when we don't feel loved by the person we are called to love. The second way that the world loves is when it's easy to love, when things are going well, when the sun is shining, when the birds are chirping, like today. Waking up and the sun is shining, right? Beautiful blue skies. This morning, I always try to get some fresh air into my lungs to get my day going. And stepped outside and we have a dog, Duncan. He's like not even a year old yet and he loves playing. And I went outside and he brought his toy outside and I threw it for him a couple times. And I went inside and he went to the door and he barked for me to come out and I opened the door to let him in and he ran by his toy and sat on the ground like this, looking at me like, you want to play? It's an easy day to love, right? When things seem to be going our way like that. Good sleep when our kids or our grandkids are well behaved, when we're not hangry. Anyone ever get hangry before? When we're hungry and angry at the same time. I think Snickers has a commercial about this. You're not yourself when you're hungry. When all of the things in life seem to be falling in place, that's when it's easy for us to love. The call for Jesus for us to love is to continue to pursue and to fulfill the command of love on the dreary days. When our children or our grandchildren aren't behaving, when we don't get the sleep, the world loves when people are watching. The world loves when people are watching to put on a show. We love in front of our children, or we love in front of our parents, in front of our boss, or in front of our church family. We love this way to impress people, to have people have an understanding or an idea of who we are. So while eyes are on us, we are the most loving, caring, and compassionate people. But as soon as those eyes leave, we become someone else. We love when people are watching. Or we love when people are watching because I want to hide what is really happening. So I put on a loving performance to hide what is truly going on inside of my heart. I love when people are watching so that I can trick them, so I can fool them into having an understanding of what I want them to think or to believe about me. This is the way that the world loves. The world loves when they are loved, when it's easy to love, and when people are watching. Scripture says, a new command I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. So let's look at the example of the love of Jesus. Romans 5:8 says, but God shows his love for us that what? While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The example of his love. God showed his love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Our sin, our offense to him. When he instructs us and commands us and we turn away, while we were still offensive to him in our trespasses and sin, while we were still sinners, he died for us. So we did not bring anything to that love equation. We did not have anything in the way that the world would love. We did not check his box for love languages. We weren't even trying to impress people in our pursuit after him. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That is the way that he loves. Hebrews 12:2 says, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising its shame. The way that Jesus loved, who for the joy set before him, what? Endured the cross, despising its shame. He endured, suffered, persevered through the cross. When we think about the cross, we think about his death on the cross, but then we think about all of the things that surround the cross. We think about the arrest and the false accusations, and we think about the betrayal of Peter and the scattering of the disciples. We think about the lies that were told of him. We think about the abuse that he took, with verbally and physically being spat upon, having to drag his cross through the town, up the hill to Golgotha, and the soldiers stripping him of his clothing, and the mockery of the sign above his cross being hung between two thieves that were worthy of the crucifixion according to the law. And when darkness fell over the earth, he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Having only known the love of the Father for all of eternity past, And in that moment, saying, "My God, my God, my Father, where are you? Why have you forsaken me?" He endured that for us. What a high calling for us to love in that way. His example of love. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8 say, "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." How did he love? He did not count equality with God something to be grasped. What are things that we grasp? What are things that we hold on to? Often when I drive my car, I'll be holding my wife's hand in one, and then my left hand I'll have propped up on the windowsill, and like I'll drive with three fingers. It's not super safe, but I've been known to drive that way. Do I always drive that way? No. When don't I drive that way? A couple weeks ago, we went down to Chicago, Illinois. The reason why we went's not important, but it was for my son's graduation. I was not holding my wife's hand and steering with three fingers. Someone tell me, show me, how was I gripping the steering wheel? 10-2, white knuckled. I trusted my driving, but not the driving of everyone else around me. I grasped that steering wheel, holding on to the control that I had. And we see here that Jesus did not grasp, hold tightly to the equality that he had with God, but instead took on the form of what? A servant. Humbling himself for our sake. The example of Jesus. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us, enduring the cross, taking the form of a servant. So we are called to love like Jesus. First, we are called to love sacrificially. We are called to love sacrificially. Much like we saw in Philippians chapter 2, he gave up heaven. How many of us long for heaven? How many of us think and imagine what heaven will be like someday? We live for that eventuality of our life. And he sacrificially gave it up to be here for us. Loving like Jesus, sacrificially. When we think about love inside of a marriage, we think about the book of Ephesians, and us men, we really like the first part of the teaching. Wives, what? Submit to your husbands. And that's where we like the period, isn't it? Scripture tells us, honey, that if I want to go to Culver's and you want to go to Pizza Ranch, where are we going? Obviously, we're going to Culver's because you need to submit to my authority and leadership. We don't like how it continues as much. Husbands, love your wife like Christ loves the church. Oh boy. How did Christ love the church? Sacrificially. completely to the point of the cross. Husbands, when you love your wife that way, sacrificially and completely, putting her needs above your own, how can I say that? Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, "Lord, if this cup could pass from me, but not your will but mine be done," sacrificially, selflessly, what wife would not submit to a love like that? Calling us to love like him, sacrificially. Second, completely. He loved himself completely to the point, to the end of himself, to the cross. Who for the joy set before him endured the cross completely. So often we don't want to love completely because we're still more concerned about how we are loved instead of loving others. What do I get out of this equation? What is the return on my investment? Jesus loved completely to the cross. Finally, he loved unconditionally. Well, we were still sinners, unconditionally. When we understand the gravity of our sin, the depravity of our sins, the offense of our sins before a holy God, while we were still sinners, and yet he loves. He loves unconditionally. So the instruction is, a new command I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you, but also you are to love one another. So we love like him, we love completely, sacrificially, and unconditionally, when the purpose of this is so that we can be identified with Jesus, so that the world may know that you are what? My disciples, that you are followers of me, that we are Christians, which mean what? Christ-like. We take on his name, so that we are identified with him. So if we are to love in this way, it is proper for us to know what love looks like. Great instructions for us in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. If you've ever been to a wedding before, you have heard this passage. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 says this, starting in verse 4, "Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things." Love never ends. A full and complete teaching on here. Love is patient and kind. I'm just trying to think. For the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, and kindness. Love is patient and kind. The fruit of the Spirit is patience and kindness. So when we think about this instruction to love, to be identified with Jesus, we as believers, once we accept him as Savior, become indwelled with the Holy Spirit. And now it is not I who lives, but what? Christ who lives in me. And so we let the fruit of the Spirit be evident in our life. So when it comes to loving, to be identified by Christ, It is no longer what I bring to the table, but it is me allowing the Holy Spirit to shine and to live through me. So this call for love has nothing to do with me, but me yielding to the Spirit that He has already entrusted to me. I don't have to be strong enough. I don't have to be good enough. I don't have to be kind enough or caring enough or compassionate enough in my own strength to love in this way, but I let the Spirit's love and strength and compassionate live through me so that people will identify the Spirit within me as a follower of Christ. What a refreshing change that I don't have to love enough because the love is sufficient enough in me through the Holy Spirit. The purpose, to be identified with Jesus. 1 Corinthians, letting the Spirit show who He is in our life and being obedient to His guiding and direction. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. When we think about the last month in our life and inside of the church, love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. When we think about the last month in our own personal life, inside of our own family, love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Maybe we think about the month of the head for Faith Chapel. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. We think about the month ahead for your own personal life, with your family, with your marriage, with your children. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Love never ends. Love doesn't end. The love of Jesus doesn't end. It didn't end with our sin. It didn't end with the cross. It didn't end at the empty tomb. It didn't end when He resumed His place at the right hand of the Father. It will not end when we meet Him in the air. It will not end when we cast our crowns and treasures at His feet. It will not end when we join with the chorus of angels singing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." His love will never end. His love will never change because God is love. So if we love in His ways, our love for each other doesn't end. It doesn't end at the end of this message or at the end of worship. It doesn't end at the end of the benediction. It doesn't end with cookies and coffee. It doesn't end when the thermostat is adjusted and the lights are turned off and the doors are locked. Our love for each other doesn't end with disagreements or our preferences or our conflicting desires. Our love for each other doesn't end when our circumstances change or our surroundings change or when our leadership changes. Our love extends into our homes, into our families, into our friendships, into our community, and into our church. Love never ends. He says, love this way so that the world may know that you are my disciples, by the love you have one for another. Our identification with Christ is connected to our love. So let us love boldly, in a way, at a time when no one else is loving. When the love for others has come to an end. Let us love deeply beyond the surface, beyond the sunshine, and into the shadows. Let us love sacrificially, past our preferences and our own desires and longings. Let us love completely to the ends of where our love would call us. Let us love unconditionally, despite the circumstances and situations we find ourselves in. So that the world that so desperately needs love can find the love of the Father in us and through us. There might be times in life, just maybe, you find yourself in a time where you might be angry, hurt, and offended. Maybe. Our instruction, keep loving. Maybe, just maybe, you might find yourself at a time where you feel ignored, forgotten, or marginalized. Maybe. Someday. Our instruction, keep loving. Maybe, just maybe, you might find a day when you are exhausted, spent, and empty. Maybe, just maybe. And on that day, our instruction is to keep loving. But we don't have to love on our own. But we love by the Spirit who has been given to us. Our best love is when we come to the end of ourselves and find ourselves fully dependent on Him. Finally, we can love because we are loved. Never forget that you are chosen, you are adopted, you are redeemed. You are seen, you are known, and you are loved. We can love because we are loved. Father, you are good and you are kind to us, and we're so thankful for your grace that's so abundant and evident in our life, that is so evident on the cross, that is so evident in the empty tomb, that is so evident as you ascended into heaven. Your love for us that is so evident and found in answered prayers that are in alignment with what our hopes and aspirations were for, but we find your love in answered prayers that are contradictory to what we had been longing for. Your grace is sufficient. Father, may we know your love and in a deep and in a real way. God, we ask and pray that as we go this week, that we would have an encounter with you where we know beyond a shadow of a doubt your sincere and personal love for us. And Father, may we be marked as people, as followers of you, as people who love deeply, boldly, unconditionally, completely, and sacrificially, to make you known to a world that so desperately needs you. We pray all these things in the name of your Son, Jesus.